Farmer. And that's another reason I think we ought to take a good hard look.
Excuse me, Senator, we are running awfully late.
What's your thinking on just your basic ideas on welfare and some of the abuses that are being being handed out right now in the welfare area, as far as food stamps, et cetera? There is a lot of abuse in the welfare, and I just wondered what you...
There's a lot of abuse in welfare. There's a lot of abuse in food stamps. Now, if I could just sit down and write a law, I would do two things. I would eliminate everybody in the food stamp program and in the welfare program who has no real right to be there. But at the same time, if we're talking about those in need in food stamps or welfare, I would make and have some outreach program to bring in the truly needy. That's reform, where we take out those who shouldn't be in the program, and maybe we ought to tighten it up, and we have in the food stamp area. And I might add that I co-sponsored a bill with Senator McGovern on that, and a lot of his friends fainted, and so did some of mine. But we think it is a reform measure, and it did reduce the cost. Welfare reform is getting worse and worse and worse, and take Medicare and Medicaid, another program that sounds good. It works well, but now we're finding about, what, $1 or $2 billion in waste and abuse and fraud. And ladies and gentlemen, just let me repeat, and I've been accused of voting against the Medicare program, but let me repeat, whenever you turn it all over to the federal government, that's what you're going to have. And I think it's time we start moving in the other direction, in farm programs, welfare programs, what have you. Get it back to the people. And Governor... I'm advised that I've talked too long. I'm acting like Hubert Humphrey. Not quite, thank you. I would like, have I got time to go down and say hello?
Well, maybe we could walk through the crowd on the way back.
Well, the crowd's over here. Well, I'll come down. Yeah. Well, I'll be. And besides, it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth, so. What this country needs is about 50 million peanut shellers, and I hope I can find some in South Dakota, because we've got our work cut out for us the next 6 weeks. Yes, in this state, in my state, in North Dakota, Nebraska, all over this country, we're gaining on Mr. Carter. We're going to pass Mr. Carter, and we're going to win on November 2nd because the American people know the difference. Well, I can't make it rain, but I won't cloud the issues as Carter's done. They're having three debates, you know, so he can explain all of his positions on each issue three different times. And I think that's going to be interesting to hear and to watch and to see. He's got a number of issues or positions on grain embargoes, and he comes out here, and I assume he was telling everyone in South Dakota, when Carter's elected, there'll be no more grain embargoes. Well, don't you believe it. He said that in Des Moines, Iowa. And an hour later, some reporter asked him, and he said, well, I guess there might be embargoes sometimes. And in the Reader's Digest coming out for this month's Reader's Digest, he says that one of the causes of inflation was excessive. Now, it's his word, excessive. It's not mine. Excessive sales of grain to Russia. Now, here's a man coming out to South Dakota, I assume in my state of Kansas, North Dakota, Nebraska, in the wheat country, telling the farmers one thing and then telling Reader's Digest something else. Now, he's had a lot of interviews lately. And some I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. I am on the Agriculture Committee. I'm the ranking Republican on that committee. I served on the House Committee for 8 years. Senator Mondale once served on the Senate Committee, but he left after 2 years. He said it wasn't interesting enough. Well, I think it is, and I think it has been. And when the Ford Dole ticket is inaugurated in January, even though I'm not on the Senate Ag Committee, I've talked with the President about agriculture. I've talked to the President about exports. And I'm going to have a very prominent role to play for the American farmer. And I want to play that role because I believe I understand it, at least in part. And I need your help to get there. And I think you need my help and hope you can have my help. And I'll work for you come January. And that's what it's all about. Now Jimmy Carter. Wherever Governor Carter goes, he says, well, I'm a farmer and you're a farmer, therefore we're all together and you go and vote for me. That's what he tells you here.
This is big.
The South said, well, I'm a Southerner, you're a Southerner, we're all together, you go in and vote for me. But I think he underestimates the American voter.
Yes, I have a big
voter. The American voter,
whether
he lives in Georgia or South Dakota or California, is very sophisticated. He wants to know where we stand. He has a right to know where we stand. Now, one difference between me and Senator Mondale, you'll always see him with George Meany. And you'll never see me with George Meany.
Okay, so I think you're going to be close.
George Meany was once asked to accept the nomination, I understand, on the Democrat ticket. He said, why step down? He's calling the shots now. Why step down? He doesn't have to do all the traveling. He just sits there in the AFL-CIO headquarters and Governor Carter comes running to get his endorsement and to get his orders and to go out and do battle. And it's Governor Carter who said, I'll sign the repeal of the right to work laws. Sure, I'll sign it. That's not what he said 2 or 3 years ago. That's what he says today. It's Governor Carter has 2 or 3 positions on grain embargoes, one I've just cited in the Reader's Digest. Take a look at the Democrats' platform. It says we wouldn't make inflationary sales of grain. And also the Humphrey Hawkins bill, which is that federal employment bill going to cost $20 to $40 billion, requires export licenses of food. He's also said he would use food as a weapon. And if the exporting oil countries didn't cooperate, we wouldn't send them food. Well, what does that do for the American farmer? Nothing. And I just say, take a look. Take a look at President Ford's record. Take a look at his leadership. Take a look at his experience. And then take a look at the other side. And I want to say finally that one thing that concerns most Americans is spending, federal spending. If you take a look at the Democratic platform, just take 5 of those programs, the total cost, the conservative estimate, is $103 billion. And how does Governor Carter propose to pay that? I don't think he ever worried about that, but I think he sort of let it out of the bag 3 days ago in an interview with Associated Press when he said that everyone who had above the median income would have their taxes increased. Now, he didn't know the median income, apparently, but the median income is somewhere between $13,000 and $14,000 per year per family. Working man, working wife, whatever, per family. He also said he didn't think most Americans wanted their taxes lowered. Is there anyone here who doesn't want their taxes lowered? Please raise your hand. We'll send a doctor right out to you, right there. I just say take a look at the record. Take a look at the campaign promises, promises, promises. He's using that old Democrat philosophy, spend and spend and spend, tax and tax and tax, elect and elect and elect. And I don't think it's going to work this time. It just seems to me that he had a great big lead, some 32 points. Now it's down to about 6 or 7. And it's eroding very rapidly. It's pretty hard to measure the last few days just what may be happening. But we've been in the South. We've been all over this country. And I say it looks good. And I wouldn't come to South Dakota or North Dakota or my state of Kansas and stand up before an audience and say that President Ford wasn't in some difficulty, because he is. Yes, because of embargoes. Yes, because of not very good farm prices right now. And yes, because of the drought, which you can't blame him for. He doesn't have that contact that others claim to have. But I can say this, President Ford has displayed his competence. He displayed his leadership abilities. He believes in a strong defense for America for the sake of peace. And Governor Carter's running around saying we ought to cut defense $5 to $7 billion. Governor Carter said we ought to have a blanket pardon for draft evaders. President Ford has said no blanket pardon, no blanket amnesty, no blanket clemency. And with Lil Thorson standing on this stand, I would say it in any event and have. There's still a few hundred men missing in Southeast Asia. Some may be alive. And it just seems to me that if there's any priorities in this country, they ought to be directed toward those forgotten Americans rather than those Americans who forgot America and turned their back on America and hid out during the war. I want Governor Carter to explain his stand to Lil Thorsness and others like him who spent year after year after year in POW camps. And I want him to explain that position to the wives and families who still have hope. Oh, yes, we have problems, and they ought to maybe address themselves to 112,000, whatever there are, deserters or draft resistors. But let's get our priorities right in America. It's easy to stand up and condemn and criticize and castigate. But despite all our faults, we're still the greatest country on the face of the earth. And I believe that, and you believe that. And just let me close by saying, I vote the way I talk. I'm not here making a speech and then running back to check my voting record to see what happened. It's going to be just about the same. I only have one position on the issues. You may not agree with it, but you know what it is. And President Ford only has one position on the issues. You may not agree with it, but you know what it is. Now, Governor Carter said he likes to shade his positions depending on the audience. Well, I say it's time to take the shades off and let the sun shine in and find out what his real position is. What is it on agriculture? You don't know what his position is on agriculture. Because he hasn't told you what his position is. He said he believes the government ought to protect the farmer with some cost to production program. But how do you determine the cost of production in South Dakota and Kansas in a national farm program, a cost of production of a bushel of wheat or a bushel of corn? We've tried that for years and years and years. I don't think our programs are bad. I don't agree with our prices. And I say that when the Ford-Dole administration starts in January, it's going to be a good administration for America. It's going to be a compassionate administration for the American people. It's going to be a frugal administration for the American people, because we're concerned about the ever-swelling bureaucracy, the budget, the deficit, and so are you. So let's tell Mr. Carter very clearly on November 2nd. That they need him in Plains, Georgia. There's been a lot of development down there. And Billy is selling a lot of gasoline at the station. And things are getting out of hand and need a lot of help. In fact, they bought a lot of peanut equipment this year. And they got the investment tax credit on that. So Mr. Carter took $41,000 off his income tax. He wants to raise everybody above $14,000, but he used the investment tax credit, which is fine. It's legal. It's a good program. Then he runs around saying, well, only the rich get the loopholes. Well, apparently that wasn't a loophole. Then he talks about us being the party of big business, but a week after he was nominated, he was up in New York City, a little club called Club 21, with that small businessman, Henry Ford, and they were talking about taxes. And he was assuring them, don't worry about taxes, I'm going to study it for a year. Well, let's study Carter for 6 weeks and vote for President Ford. Thank you very much. Want to have a little more pineapple? Solid. I know it's not the Democrat platform. doesn't lean to the left. I think we're a little bit late, and we apologize for that, but we sort of get carried away at each stop. We like to shake hands and visit with people, and that's the way we do it in Kansas. I guess when you're running for some big office, you have to keep moving all the time, but it always seems to me that I might have missed something by leaving, and I never always want to be the last one to leave a rally. I think the press sometimes thinks I am, so... I'm not really going to make a speech. I don't think you want to hear that. As I said downtown, I can't make it rain, but I don't intend to cloud the issues. And I thought I'd just speak very bluntly. I think I'm among friends. I started in the Congress in western Kansas. I want to make it perfectly clear. I'm not a farmer, so I can't claim that identification. I can't say vote for me because I'm a farmer. My father ran a cream and egg station in Russell, Kansas, one of those metropolitan areas we have in Kansas. And we wanted to have the last Republican convention there, but both our motels were booked up, so we had to go to Kansas City. But he ran a cream and egg station there for a long, long time, and I used to see a lot of farmers and spilt some of their cream on Saturdays and a few little things like that. But and my grandparents lived on a farm and suffered through the Depression and didn't have anything to show for when it was all over. So I know a little about the basic problems. And then I went to Congress in 1961 and served on the House Agriculture Committee for 8 years. And that was a time, I might say to this group, that you couldn't even get people to serve on the Agriculture Committee. Nobody really wanted to serve on that committee because you had different farm groups with different points of view, and it always seemed like whatever you were for, it was wrong. And if you had five farmers, you had six points of view. And so a lot of people sort of shied away from that, but it seemed to me that I represented one of the largest, in fact, the largest wheat-producing district in America. And I had some obligation to stay on that committee, and I did. And I moved up from, I think, 14th on the Republican side. I could hardly see the chairman. And 8 years later, because of some reverses in the Congress, I think I was number four on that committee when I ran for the Senate. And I've been on the Senate Ag Committee for 8 years. I'm now the ranking Republican on that committee. And I say this not to boast, because the Senate's much like the House. It's hard to attract people to serve on the Agriculture Committee, at least it was. That's changing now, let me say that. We even have television coverage of some of the Agriculture Committee meetings. And you can always tell when we're going to have coverage because all the senators show up. And some have their blue shirts on, and some stay as long as the cameras stay. And it's very encouraging to see that great attendance. But agriculture is important, is the point I want to make. I've had some experience dealing with legislation. I think there are times when you probably compound your problems. But I think most of the time, members of Congress, Democrats or Republicans, really believe they're trying to help the American farmer. Now, you may not believe us, or it may not work out that way, but it's always the purpose, or nearly always a purpose, is to pass some legislation to deal with some specific problem or some general farm legislation. Now, I happen to think the 73 Act is not a bad act. It needs some adjustments. We have to adjust the target prices. I think we ought to adjust the loan levels upward. There are a number of areas we ought to make some improvements. But at the same time, and we're moving in the right direction, in my view, where we have fewer and fewer decisions made at a governmental level or in some ASC office somewhere, and the farmer at least has some more freedom. And we think that's the direction we need to go. I would guess that depending on what happens in the national election, they will have pretty much the same type program if President Ford is elected. And I think he will be elected. And I want to come to that very quickly, and then I'll move around the, hope to have a chance to say hello to everybody. That's really more important, and have your views. I know that President Ford is in some difficulty because of the grain embargoes. I thought it was a mistake at the time. I said so. In fact, I'm one of the few who said so. I don't think I remember Senator Mondale saying about embargoes. Or Senator Humphrey. I think Senator McGovern did. He was one of the few senators who did. Because many of these Democrat liberal senators knew that the real culprit was George Meany. And they weren't about to cross George Meany. But McGovern didn't have that reservation since Meany didn't help him much in 1972. And I know very distinctly, in fact, I think I read his press release one day at the Ag Committee hearing where he criticized the embargo. And hindsight's perfect. And it's been done. And we could spend the rest of this campaign talking about embargoes and did President Ford make a mistake? Yes, he made a mistake. I'm not going to vote for him because he made that mistake. Well, the embargoes wouldn't have been so bad had the prices been going up. But as luck would have it, the prices have been going down. And so here we are, 6 weeks from the election, with some still feeling the sting of the embargoes, and cattle prices and grain prices just aren't what they ought to be. Now, there are a lot of things in the mill that could improve some of these prices, maybe not drastically, but at least start the upward climb before the election. I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying that it could happen. And I think beyond that, we have to take a look at which way we're going to go in January or in the next farm bill or with the next president. And I'm here to say that I've discussed with President Ford farm problems, farm programs, farm weaknesses, farm strengths. It was said that I was put on the ticket because I could carry the farm belt. Well, that isn't the case. You're not going to vote for me because I'm from the farm belt. I trust you will vote for the Ford Dole ticket because of your belief in a philosophy and perhaps some feeling that the vice president will have had experience in agriculture, particularly in the export end of it, and that's where our future is in American agriculture, is exports. And I will have some voice in that. I will be a strong voice for the American farmer in exports. And I think that's important. But that's not enough. But how do I feel generally? What's my philosophy? Well, I'll just say very quickly. I know we have a drought. I know we need disaster programs and hay programs and transportation programs. All these things must be done. But it's going to rain someday. They always say that in Kansas. And it always has. And then it rains too much. And it's too wet, and you can't get in the field anyway. And then it always sort of balances out over the years. But I think one very important concern that farmers have, probably more than any other group, yes, they want a strong agriculture, but they also want a strong America. And I just ask you to take a look. We'll stand on our farm record, we'll stand on the farm program, and we'll stand up and say what we believe. And we'll say it only one way. We'll say that in defense, we'll say that insofar as farm labor is concerned, we'll say it as far as spending concerned, and we'll say it right down the line. Now today the President signed the Defense Appropriations Bill. There's a real growth in that defense bill of about $11 billion, almost $12 billion. The first real growth we've had in that program for 6 to 8 years. And it's a lot of money. But I think it's rather important. I just don't want to be a number two in the world. I think we have to remain strong and retain our number one status if we're going to have peace in the world. And that's important to those here and the young people here and your grandchildren or whoever. As I said, driving out with Leo Thorsness, who certainly understands some of the ravages of conflict, there's a lot of talk about amnesty by Mr. Carter. Well, I'm going to put my chips on and my priorities on those missing in action. Hopefully some may be alive in Southeast Asia. I think we ought to concern ourselves first with the forgotten Americans in Southeast Asia and not worry so much about those who forgot America and went to some other country to hide out and now are asking for some general amnesty or general pardon. It just seems to me that we've got to get our priorities right. And when it comes to defense spending and conservative philosophy, and I think most South Dakotans are conservative, we want a prosperous agriculture. We want it from the marketplace. We want to make a profit. We get tired of government programs in every other field. We don't want government interference in our markets, and we've had it. And it's not fair to ask the farmer to plant and then put your foot on the brake after he's harvested his crop. And we've learned the lesson. And if you have any doubts about Mr. Carter's position on embargoes, read this month's Reader's Digest. It came out yesterday. And he says, I didn't say it, he said it. He said a lot of things the last few days, but he said in Reader's Digest, one of the causes of inflation was excessive sales of grain to Russia. Now, this is the same candidate who went to Des Moines Fair and said, not going to be any more embargoes. They'll be ended once and for all if I'm elected. And then on the way to the plane, he saw some reporter and said, well, maybe I didn't mean that. We might have some embargoes and sometimes. And I just ask you as Democrats, Republicans, Independents, Farm Bureau, NFO, Farmers Union, to take a look at the record. Take a look at the candidates. Take a look at the man who has the experience. And take a look at their running mates. And I don't have any quarrel with Senator Mondale. We're friends. We're in the Senate together. We never really vote alike. He votes yes. I vote no. I vote no. He votes yes. And if they had to pick two senators to be on the tickets, they pick two that can be gone or never change a vote while we're absent. But you can always tell us apart. He's the one that's always walking around with George Meany. And I think that's a point that farmers ought to remember. Governor Carter endorsed Proposition 14 on the California ballot. And if you haven't heard about it, you ought to check with your farm leadership. That gives union organizers the right to come on your property. That's Proposition 14. It's a foot in the door in California. And Governor Carter endorsed that proposition. And Bernie Sist, a Democrat member of Congress who was co-chairman of his farm committee in that part of the country, quit. So that's enough for me. Mr. Carter either doesn't understand or he's changed his position. And so I just, not plead with you, but ask you to take a look at our records, and we'll take our chances on November 2nd. Now, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to respond. Otherwise, I'll just go around and visit. I may not know the answer, but... I'm going to say this is pineapple juice. It's better for you than peanut butter. And it doesn't stick to the roof of your mouth either, so. But it's water. If you have any answers, if you don't have any questions, I'll be glad to. We need answers, I guess. Is President Ford in a great deal of trouble in this area? Just raise your right toe. Yes.
I think we have drought in South Dakota every time we get too many Democrats in office. It happened that way in 30, and this way again.
I hadn't thought of that. I'll use that at the next stop.
Senator, there's a bulletin that Mr. Carter had out the other night over Sioux Falls, and there's a few things in here I've underlined. I'd just like to have you look at a couple of those.
Jimmy Carter on labor. Right. Oh, here it is, yes. You've heard of the right to work laws in South Dakota. You like them?
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy Carter apparently doesn't. I never call him Jimmy, but lately I don't know what to call him. I get so confused anymore. I read so many different things, so many different publications. Some I don't subscribe to, but you see them around barbershops and other places. Now, Section 14B, he's got a thing about 14. That's Proposition 14 in California. But 14B is something else. That's a section of the Taft-Hartley law that permits states to have right-to-work laws. I think it's worked pretty well. I know a lot of union people who don't really quarrel with it, but George Meany does. And so, you know, they asked me any one time to run for president. He said, why step down? And he's calling the shots now, and he didn't have to move his office. They come to him. They go to the headquarters in Washington, and he wants it repealed. And Governor Carter said early in his political days that he was for right-to-work laws. Now he says he would sign a law to repeal that part of the law. And I think we just have to have consistency. He's had so many different views on 14B that if you ask him real quickly one day, he might tell you it was his hat size. He's had so many positions. He's had so many positions on defense. What's his position on agriculture? He said, well, he thinks the government ought to provide some cost to production. Now, I'm on the committee. We've looked at that for a long time. The cost of production in Sioux Falls area is different than it is in the Russell, Kansas area of a bushel of wheat, for example. We have to write a national program. And I just say, let's make him tell us what it's all about. And maybe he's going to say something in the debate. They're going to have three of them, you know, to accommodate him. So they give you all of his positions on each issue at different nights. And I say that in all seriousness. And so don't sell us short. Give us a chance to redeem ourselves in the embargo area. Because I think President Ford has a good farm voting record in the Congress. And I hope that my experience will add something to the ticket in rural America. And I think I addressed myself to that. Is that what you had in mind?
Yes. Thank you.
Is there a serious move afoot to give away the Panama Canal?
No.
Just a moment.